Anarchopreneur, episode number 45, how to establish yourself as a credible thought leader. Prepare to have your jimmies rustled.
Government is inefficient and should be dissolved.
What governments should actually do is just leave people alone to buy and sell freely among themselves. If they just leave self-interested traders to compete with one another, markets are guided to positive outcomes as if by an invisible hand.
It's free markets that are moral because you only succeed if you meet the needs and wants of other people.
One of the hard things for people to understand is that the more you try to control an economy, the more quickly it falls apart.
Capitalism. God's way of determining who is smart and who is poor.
What is up, a free market squad and the place to be? Welcome to another exciting episode of Anarchopreneur, the Nathan Frazier Show. I am your host, Nathan Frazier, and today we're going to be talking about authority figures and thought leaders. And this is going to be a very contradictory episode. I'm going to argue against authority figures. I'm going to argue for authority figures. And then I'm going to tell you how you can be a thought leader or an authority in a particular field, and you're going to come away hopefully less confused than you are right now. So stick around. We're going to jump into all of that. Before we do, though, I want to give a huge shout out to, first of all, Truth Frequency Radio Network for airing this here broadcast, podcast, also UCY.TV for simulcasting, and of course, LRN.FM for making this show possible on their network as well. And a huge thank you to you for showing up and listening and doing what you're doing out there to make the world a better place through voluntary interaction. I do appreciate that. So let's just jump into it with this week's Live Free FM Focus on Freedom. We're going to be talking about authority figures and thought leaders, both in the political realm and in the freedom movement. There's been a lot of drama over the last week, so we're going to kind of touch on some of that. To begin with, though, I'm going to pre-frame this conversation by saying, and this probably doesn't even need to be said, but for the new listeners, I'm very anti-authoritarian. I've been anti-authoritarian my whole life. I've been on the hashtag not my president since Papa Bush, since I first started paying attention to politics when I was a little kid. We were raised to question authority. My father, my grandfather, both of them taught me about the abuses of authoritarianism. And so we were kind of raised in that conservative era to question that authority. And actually, in third grade, I was kicked out of class. In third grade, they were teaching us about Columbus Day, and I dared to question the authority figure in the room, the teacher, because my grandpa, he's Native American, and he taught me an alternate view of Christopher Columbus, and I argued with the teacher on Columbus Day when they were teaching about Christopher Columbus. I had the audacity to argue with the teacher and got sent to the principal's office. The principal told me that it would be okay if I just went back to the classroom and apologized for arguing with the teacher and apologized to the students for lying to him. And I refused, and I got sent home for 3 days. And that was just one of many things on my permanent record that kind of set up where I am today in my belief system nowadays. Now, like I said, I grew up, my father was Mexican. He was very much into La Raza and Reconquista. And my grandpa was Native, or is, my dad's dead, but my grandpa's still alive. He's Native American, Sault Ste. Marie, Chippewa, from Michigan area. And I grew up hearing all of the evils about white people. And being a white kid, growing up in a predominantly non-white environment, I grew up with a lot of self-hate, and I grew up with a lot of leftist ideals, and I really embraced a lot of them until recently, until these last 8 years where Obama got into office, and the left has, in my opinion, and I don't even think this is just my opinion, but the way I see things, the left has really become the authoritarians now. The left is preaching for regulations on speech. They're They've really become what they've become, the authority figures. They've become what I always fought against, what I always thought the left stood against, is what the left has become now that they've gotten in charge of the media, now that they've gotten in charge of academics or academia, now that they're in charge of the White House. They've really become just as abusive and just as authoritarian as the right was when I was growing up under George Bush, both senior and junior. So, that's kind of the transition that I had to go through personally. But obviously now, very soon, Obama is not going to be the president anymore. The authoritarian jackboot is probably going to be put back onto the right foot of the political body out there. And first of all, I have to make an admission. Up until this point, I was certain that Clinton was going to get into office, but Trump won, and that was kind of shocking to me. Now, I'm not one of those people that thinks that this is a great thing for America. I don't think that Trump is going to be any different than any of the previous ones. I might be wrong about that as well, but so far, he hasn't really proven himself to me to be anything different than any other authoritarians out there. His policies on stop and frisk, his beliefs on borders, and this is one of those controversial subjects, but the way that he believes in solving problems is just as authoritarian as the way the left believes in solving problems. And I don't. I believe in solving problems through respecting people's autonomy, through respecting people's rights, and through voluntary interactions. And I don't see that as a strength or a quality that Donald Trump embraces or possesses even. So I'm not too hopeful that things are going to get better under Donald Trump as president. But I was wrong. I thought Clinton was going to get in. Didn't happen. Trump got in. And we're seeing these giant protests go on right now. We're seeing these protests where people are burning things, busting windows, shutting down entire city blocks because of the not my president. And where I kind of get the sentiment, the problem isn't that they have a problem with authoritarianism in general. The problem that they seem to be expressing is that they don't get to be the authoritarians anymore. So the problem isn't, it's horrible that Donald Trump has this gun that he can point at all of us now and force his will on us. The problem is, Donald Trump is the one holding the gun, rather than the fact that we shouldn't be pointing guns at each other in order to force our will on each other in the first place. So all of these protests, and I don't want to say all of the protesters, but the majority of the sentiment that I'm getting from these protests is not that they're anti-authoritarian, but that they are pissed that they no longer get to be the authoritarians. And that's pretty sad to me. Coercive authority attracts a certain type of people. It attracts people like Hillary Clinton. It attracts people like Donald Trump. It attracts people like Bernie Sanders. It attracts people like George Bush Sr. and George Bush Jr. and Bill Clinton and Barack Obama. And it attracts a lot of these temper tantrum throwing kids that are out there in the streets burning shit down and destroying private property because they didn't get their way. The idea that you can use violence and destruction to force your will on others attracts these type of people and attracts these type of actions. And that's why I'm against it. I don't think that you can have a positive result from organizing society based off coercion and force. I think that these type of results are the only thing that you can logically expect from having coercively enforced, whether it's democracy or a dictatorship. Either way, if coercion is the basis of how your society works, you're going to attract coercive people, and you're going to attract coercive counter movements as well. Power corrupts. Absolute power corrupts. Absolutely. And power tends to attract the corruptible. That's just the way it is. Voluntary leadership, though, in my opinion, I don't think all leadership is bad. I don't think all authority is bad. Coercive leadership, coercive authority are what I'm against. And voluntary leadership and voluntary authority typically has better results, but can also attract some of the same type of megalomaniacal. There we go. Megalomaniacal. God, that is, no, I should edit that out, but I'm not going to. The same type of megalomaniacs that can be attracted to coercive positions of power can also be attracted to voluntary roles of leadership and authority. Authority and leadership, whether voluntary or coercive, can attract the wrong type of people. And in the liberty movement right now, we're seeing that go on. We're seeing a lot of people that present one side of their personality and gain a lot of attention and gain a lot of respect off of that perception. We're seeing some other things come to light that have called certain leaders in the liberty movement into question. And so I try to stay away from drama. I try to keep my nose out of other people's business because I believe every moment that you spend minding somebody else's business is a moment that you can't spend tending to your own business. And you know me, I'm a big fan of tending to your own business. But because there's a lesson here, I want to cover some of the drama that's going on in the liberty movement right now. So, over the last year, we've seen some of the very pro-freedom people kind of make this transition into alt-right authoritarianism. Stefan Molyneux is one of them that used to be very pro-liberty, but has now been has come out in support of some things that really make me question his morals and his integrity, just to be quite frank. Chris Cantwell, also huge liberty activist that has kind of gone down the alt-right tunnel and is now spewing a lot of things that I disagree with. Alex Jones, who I've never really been completely on board with. I've always kind of thought he was a little bit too authoritarian for my tastes, has really buckled down on the Trump train lately. But all in all, a lot of people who used to be pro-freedom have kind of switched now that there was an authoritarian that they could get behind, now that there was a jackboot that fit their feet, they've kind of given up on the anti-authoritarianism and have embraced authoritarianism. And they've brought a large percentage of their audiences with them. And this has been pretty disturbing to me as somebody who's I don't consider myself a liberty activist, but I definitely do consider myself somebody who loves and tries to promote the ideas of liberty, and to see so many people that I used to stand shoulder to shoulder with, to see them take a totally different direction has been a little bit disheartening. I'll say that. But as a business move, though, I'll be frank, as a content creator and as somebody who's trying to make a living off of their activism, it's marketing to the truth movement crowd. No offense if you're part of them, but that's not a smart business move. A lot of the liberty community wants free crap. They want free content. They want free podcasts. They want free audio. And not very many of them want to help support the people that are making all of this content, and they're not a good audience as far as having an audience that will actually support your work. The liberty community, by and large, is not a good audience to cater to. So it has to be a labor of love if you really want to promote content for this community. It has to be because you're in love with the ideals and you're in love with serving the community, and don't expect to make a living off of your activism, because I'm just going to say it. A lot of the people in the liberty community are selfish, entitled, and don't want to give back to the people that they gain so much from. Not everybody. I myself, being a member of this community, I make a lot of donations to the people that I that I stand behind. I've gotten a lot of donations from people, but by and large, the majority of the Liberty community is not maybe not in the position or just doesn't feel it necessary, but they don't really support the people that are bringing them the content and the ideas that they say that they find valuable. So I can understand why Stefan Molyneux has started catering his message to a more an audience that is more willing to donate to what he's doing. I can understand why Alex Jones has toned down parts of his message and toned up other parts of his message to make the products that he affiliates for, to make the stuff that he sells more in line with who he's trying to create messages for. I get it. I don't agree with it, but I get it. And that being said, that is what it is. That might piss you off. I don't really care because I speak my mind. This is my podcast and you can take it or leave it. So that being said, very recently, a couple of people one who I didn't really ever look up to and one who I did look up to have come under fire. Adam Kokesh has been caught up in a bunch of drama. I've never really been like a huge Adam Kokesh fan. I like some of his work. I think he teeters on some of the ideas that are embraced by like the Venus Project, people that I disagree with. But I might be wrong on that. He might be right. Either way, I think he does good work. I think that his Man on the Street interviews are brilliant. I've never read his book, so I can't judge his book. Overall, as a person, though, he seems like a pretty boy. He seems like somebody who really likes the attention. He seems like somebody who loves having that celebrity status. And, I can't fault him for it. But it's something that always was kind of left a bitter taste in my mouth. Not even really that. I just was something that the way that he seemed to thrive off of it and I guess maybe I do the same thing. I try not to, but maybe it's one of those things where you see something in somebody else that you don't like about yourself, and it's easier to point it out in them than it is to address it in yourself. I don't know, but it's always kind of rubbed me the wrong way. But overall, not a bad opinion of the guy. He's a pretty boy, and maybe because I'm an ugly guy, I'm just jealous. Who knows? Larkin Rose also is under fire. Larkin, actually, I love his work. He did a great podcast for a while. I've read a bunch of his books. I think he's a great writer. And I've interviewed him multiple times on Live Free FM, and I've met Larkin Rose a couple of times, and I always thought he was a great guy. But both of them in the last month or so have had kind of scandals surrounding their name. Larkin is accused of sleeping with somebody else's wife, cheating on his wife by helping another lady cheat on her husband. And Adam Kokesh has recently, his ex-girlfriend has come forward and talked about a lot of, not physically abusive, but definitely mentally and emotionally abusive traits that were going on in their relationship. And it's brought to my attention the need to address something that maybe should be addressed more often inside of the Liberty community, which is, don't put people on pedestals. I don't really worry about what goes on in people's personal lives, but it does affect their message. If somebody has a message that's speaking one thing and in their personal lives they're doing something different or doing something inconsistent, or if they want you to trust them in one area, but they prove that even they're not even trustworthy to their own spouses, it can tarnish their ability to be an effective thought leader. So it can tarnish that leadership role. And I'm not going to, I should throw this out there. I'm not going to judge either one of them because I'm not good at relationships. Like I've been in a lot of very dysfunctional relationships. I've never beat a girl. I've never cheated on a girl. But I've definitely been in relationships where I didn't fully appreciate the other person, And I've also, not having ever cheated on a girl myself, I have helped a lot of women cheat on their significant others. I've slept with a lot of married women. I've slept with a lot of girls that already had boyfriends. And so don't get your relationship advice from me. That's what I'm saying. And I can't really point the finger and say you shouldn't listen to Adam or Larkin when it comes to politics because of what's going on in their own bedrooms. But I am saying that people are human beings. And even if somebody is a thought leader, we need to understand that they're still a human being, that they shouldn't be put on these pedestals where they're holier than thou. And I really don't like the whole celebrity status that I see happening inside of the Liberty community very frequently. I don't like celebritarians. I do my best to avoid putting myself in that position. Basically, this is the lesson. This is the lesson that I'm trying to get accomplished throughout this whole little rant, which is basically leadership should be voluntary, and it shouldn't extend past just one field. Just because somebody's a thought leader in one area doesn't mean that they should be above reproach in other areas, and doesn't even mean that they should be above reproach in that particular area. So if somebody has great insights on the political system, that doesn't mean that we should look at them as somebody to model in other aspects of our lives. If I train under somebody for martial arts because they're brilliant in teaching martial arts, that doesn't mean I should blindly follow their advice when it comes to relationships. If I study somebody because they're a genius when it comes to economics, that doesn't mean that I should blindly follow and worship the same God that they worship. Far too often, we give too much credit to people who establish themselves as thought leaders or authorities in a particular field. And inside of the Liberty community, which we're supposed to be anti-authoritarian in the first place, but we still fall victim, a lot of us, maybe not you listening, but a lot of us do still fall victim to the authoritarian mindset, and we create great men out of the leaders in our movement. And then when things like this happen, we're shocked. We're like, I can't believe Larkin Rose would do this, or I can't believe Adam Kokesh would do this. And some of us are like, oh, I don't believe it. I not only can't I believe it, I refuse to believe it. And that's just silly, because these are human beings just like you. And where you might excel in one area of life and you might be able to greatly improve and benefit the lives of other people by having them study under you in one area of life, you're flawed in a lot of other areas of life. And those people should definitely not take their cues from you on those other areas of life. So to think that these people who gain credibility inside of the political activist community should be looked at as great moral superior people, and then to be completely shocked when we find out that they're human and they have hypocrisy and they have flaws just like anybody else does. If you're really shocked by this, and this is a wake-up call for you, well, I hope it's a wake-up call for you, because we shouldn't be putting people on these pedestals. We should say, hey, so-and-so is great when it comes to this, but when it comes to all the other aspects of their life, I have no idea. They might be a complete douchebag, or they might be an incredibly flawed human being just like the rest of us. And so, yeah, leadership is great. Coercive leadership, not so well. And if you're following a leader and you put them up on a pedestal, you should probably reconsider that. Don't turn leaders into great men, because there's no such thing as a great man or a great woman. We're all flawed human beings. And then the last thing to take away from this is, if you yourself find yourself in a position of leadership, avoid the temptations of cult leader status. Avoid the temptations of being rich and famous and being able to grab bitches by the pussy. Because I'm sorry if that offends you, but that's my sense of humor. The fact of the matter is that power corrupts. Absolute power corrupts absolutely. And if you find yourself in a position of power, you have an obligation to your community, to the people that follow you. Again, I'm not completely against having followers and leaders, but if you're going to be a leader, be a good leader. And if you're going to be a follower, be a smart follower. Don't be a blind follower. All right, that's this week's lesson on liberty from Live Free FM. Now, enough talking about other people's business. I'm going to talk a little bit about my business. This is Nathan Fraser Land, where I let you, I kind of try and keep you up to date with what's going on in my own business. So a couple of things. I wasn't here last week. I wasn't able to do a podcast last week. I apologize for that. I'll let you know why here in a moment. But exciting news, though, before we get into that. October 2016 was the first month that Podcast Blastoff was actually profitable. We've been working hard on this business for over a year now. We went live October of 2015. We've been paying server costs and paying advertising and putting a lot of money into building this business up. And over the last year, it's been a long road, but finally this last month, we actually posted a profitable month. We're operating in the black from month to month now. We've got a lot of money to recuperate from the last year, the last 2 years, basically, of building the business up. But it's starting to look hopeful going forward. And I've got a lot of plans on how to market and continue the upward trend that we're starting to see. So I'm super stoked about that. That was fantastic. And on other business notes, things are going pretty decent as well. And I'll let you know about what I'm talking about when it comes to that on the other side of the break, why I wasn't here last week. And to do a complete reversal of the first half of the show, I'm going to actually talk about why you should establish yourself as an authority in a particular field and how to do so. You don't want to miss this. So stick around. We'll be right back on the other side of the break.
Free minds, free markets, free people.
All right. This week, we're going to shine a little bit of a spotlight on one of the members of the Free Market Squad, Paul Gordon, who manages the website stateofwake.com. Stateofwake.com, in Paul's own words, is a edutainment website for the Liberty community. All of his work is over there. Paul is a podcaster, video maker, very smart guy. I enjoy following him on Facebook. Now, as far as I can tell, he doesn't have anything to sell over at his website. But he does have a Patreon account where you can support him if you enjoy his work. And I would just recommend going over there and checking it out. He's got a lot of great information, and he's one of those contrarians inside of the contrarian liberty movement. He's one of those guys that is always questioning the status quo, even inside of the against the status quo community that we tend to or we try to convince ourselves that we're a part of. So much love to Paul. Thank you for everything that you do. Go and check out his site, stateofwake.com. All right. So if you want to have your business featured on the Free Market Squad spotlight here on the Nathan Fraser Show, there's a very simple way to do that. And that is to join the Free Market Squad community over on Facebook. It's a closed Facebook mastermind group specifically geared towards liberty-minded entrepreneurs. So number one, you get to network with a bunch of like-minded entrepreneurs. Number two, you get the chance to have your business or your project shouted out on this podcast, which is heard by thousands, sometimes tens of thousands of listeners. So some free promotion. And number three, going back to number one, it's just a great community. So much love to everybody there. If you'd like to join us or get more information on how you can join us, go to freemarketsquad.com. Are you a liberty-minded entrepreneur, small business owner, agorist, or freelancer? Do you ever struggle in your business and feel like you're all alone in the world? Can you imagine how great it would be if there were a community of freedom-loving business people just waiting to connect with you? Can you keep a secret? There is such a community. Free Market Squad is the online mastermind group for people who are passionate about freedom and success in life. Access to a mastermind group is probably one of the most valuable things you could have in your life. And membership in the Free Market Squad is absolutely free. If you have a Facebook account and you want more information on how to join the Free Market Squad, head on over to www.freemarketsquad.com. That's freemarketsquad.com.
Let me ask you something. Haven't you ever been tempted to just break the rules and finally
get back at my big faceless corporate bosses for making me feel so small and insignificant?
Look at this, Marge. $58 and all of it profit. I'm the smartest businessman in the world.
Government can print money, but it's the entrepreneurs who really make the money.
Why don't you guys just make your cars cleaner and nicer and try to be better to your customers so that you can compete with Handy Car's popularity in the marketplace?
Shut up and take my money.
And we're back. This is Anarchopreneur, the Nathan Frazier Show. I am your host with the Hero Complex, Nathan Frazier. You can find more by going to NathanFrazierShow.com. You, more importantly, though, you are the Free Market Squad. How you doing, Free Market Squad? Thank you for giving me an hour out of your time today. I promise to make it well worth the 60 minutes spent together. So real quick, before we jump into this week's Be Your Own Boss segment of the show, I'm going to finish up, let you know a little bit about what was going on in my life the last couple of weeks, why I wasn't able to make the show last week. And there was a very good reason for it. I actually was flown out to Columbus, Ohio by one of my customers slash clients, Drew Sample. He does the Sample Hour podcast. He also does Capital City Gardens out in Columbus, Ohio. And partially business, partially just to hang out and have a good time. It was well needed for me, though. It was my first time ever getting to meet Drew in person, even though he's a member of my mastermind and he's been a longtime client of mine. I've never been able to meet him in person. I got to fly out there. Drew kind of took me around and did some sightseeing in Columbus. Hit up a bunch of different restaurants, local restaurants and bars that cater to serving locally grown food and serving locally brewed beers. So it was fantastic. And the food culture out there just blew me away. The way that it's a strange mix between city and country and countryside out there that it just kind of blew my mind. And I was very impressed by what Drew and his little cohort of food rebels. I don't know. The rebels is kind of an overused word, but what they're doing is definitely a rebellious thing compared to the food industry where I come from. So I plan on having Drew on to talk about it. It was a blast, though. I had a really good time. And so thank you, Drew, if you're listening to this. Thank you for that. It was just awesome. I really appreciate it. And you can check out Drew's podcast over at thesamplehour.com. That's samplehour.com. Okay. Other than that, the last thing that I want to let you guys know about before I jump into this week's Be Your Own Boss segment is, I had the good fortune to sit down with a friend of mine, Chris Stefanik, who does the Choice Conversations podcast. And we recorded, in my opinion, probably one of the most valuable conversations that I've ever had as far as podcasting goes. We went over a lot of things. I do marketing consulting for people, and I help people take their ideas and turn them into a profitable business, or take their profitable businesses and increase the profits and decrease the losses. And so Chris is thinking about trying to figure out how to monetize what he's doing with Choice Conversations. And so we sat down and we had a conversation. Chris actually recorded it and turned it into a podcast episode. And it's basically like five or six really key, crucial points that you have to understand before you start a business. And not having a good understanding of this, of these five or six things, is probably why 90% of businesses fail within the first year or two. And we went through what these six points were, how to avoid making the most common mistakes that new business owners make. And like I said, it's one of the most invaluable conversations, one of the most valuable. I'm not sure which word I'm supposed to use there, but it was a great conversation. And it's one of those ones that I'm going to constantly be referring people back to over the next couple of years. I already know. So if you want to check that out, go head on over to Chris's website, which is choiceconversations.com. And you can hear the first part of that two-part conversation after it's been available at his website for a while. I might take it and repurpose it as a podcast episode here, but I want to make sure that Chris has the ability to capitalize off of it with his audience before I share it with you guys. So if you can't wait till I repurpose it, head on over to his site, choiceconversations.com. And if you download it there, it gives Chris an indication that I'm a good guest to have on, and he'll probably invite me on more frequently. So yeah, I win. Even if you get it from him rather than from me, it still helps me out in that event as well. So head over there and download that episode. All right. So let's jump into this week's Be Your Own Boss section. So in the first half of the show, I was talking about the dangers of leadership, the dangers of authoritarianism. Now I'm going to kind of flip the script. I'm going to pivot a little bit and talk about how and why you should consider establishing yourself as a thought leader, especially if you're an activist or especially if you're a business person. You definitely should consider trying to position yourself as a thought leader in your field. Now, like I said, I covered the dangers of it. I covered what not to do in the first half of the show. So now I'm going to cover what I think people should do, how to responsibly lead a community. And yes, there's pitfalls to it, but there's also reasons. There's also a lot of really good reasons to consider taking on a leadership role in your life, in your community, and whatever it is that you're doing. If you really can help people with your message, if you really believe in the message that you're trying to put out there, if you really believe in the service or the product that you're trying to put out there, being a thought leader, being an authority in your field definitely makes it a lot easier to help a lot more people. Again, as long as it's voluntary, as long as it's not coercive leadership, then it's a double-edged sword. It can be abused, but it can also be used to improve the lives of people. It can be used to increase the positive impact you can have on the world. And if you want to do that, yeah, it's almost necessary that you embrace your leadership role. So for a long time, I myself have been considered an authority on anti-authoritarianism, as perplexing as that may seem. But as far as like inside of the Liberty community, I've been considered a mediocre to rather well-known thought leader in that realm. And it's had a lot of benefits for me personally. It's allowed me to have conversations with people that I never would have been able to meet otherwise. It's allowed me to go out and travel and speak in front of crowds of people that I would never have the opportunity to meet otherwise. And it's helped me network and connect and meet a lot of really awesome people, quite frankly. And those are people that I never would have been able to meet and connect and have conversations with and build relationships with otherwise. So being a thought leader in the libertarian type community has been very beneficial for me. And also in every job that I've ever had, every not business that I owned, but businesses that I've worked for other people, in almost every single job I've ever had, I've taken on some sort of leadership role, whether it's a management position or whether it's a kitchen lead at a bar and grill, or whether it's just in general, I've taken on training roles. I've taken on leadership roles in almost every single business that I've ever worked for. And those have translated very well into being a business owner as well, because as a business owner, you have to be able to take leadership. It's impossible to run a business if you don't have good leadership skills. So here's the thing is like inside of the anarcho-socialist or the post-scarcity anarchist utopian ideals, they have these dreams of workplaces without hierarchy where the workers run the show, and that's just, it's not attainable. It's not realistic. Most people, 90% of people just want to work. Maybe they don't want to work, but when the ones that understand that they need to work in order to put food on the table, they don't want to make decisions. They just want to show up, be told what to do, put as little thinking into what they're doing as possible. And because of that, It's necessary to have leadership. It's necessary to have hierarchy in the workplace. A workplace will not work without some sort of hierarchy, at least past, and I would even say, even if it's just like a co-op, there's still somebody or a group of people that are going to shine and make more decisions, and there's still people that are going to say, you know what, I own an equal amount as these people, but I'm going to kind of sit back and I'm going to let them make the decisions, and I'm just going to kind of go with the flow. That's the way human beings are. A lot of people don't want that responsibility, and so in order to get things done, the people with vision have to step up and take that responsibility. It's just the way it is. Now, Dan Kennedy, I want to say it was Dan Kennedy that said, and I might be quoting the wrong person. If you're the person that said this and I'm attributing it to Dan Kennedy inappropriately, I apologize. But I want to say it was Dan Kennedy who said, people are just walking around with their umbilical cords in their hands, looking for somebody to plug their umbilical cord into. So the argument is, if that's how people are, if people are just looking for a leader, if they're looking for somebody else to give their responsibility for thinking and making decisions over to, why let somebody less worthy than yourself take that position? If you are good, if you're a visionary, if you're good at expressing your ideas, if you're good at implementing plans and taking action, and you do it for the good of your community, and there's people just looking for somebody like you to lead them, you're kind of doing them a disservice if you don't step into that role and instead you let them go follow somebody who's a douchebag, who's just going to take advantage of them and lead them for their own benefit. So yeah, in a couple of different ways. Number one, leadership is not bad. Number two, if you're a worthy leader, you kind of have an obligation to step into the role. So as long as you're a worthy leader, give people the opportunity to follow you. As long as it's voluntary leadership, it's okay. Now, some people object, though, because they deal with something called imposter syndrome. Imposter syndrome is just basically believing yourself unworthy to be a leader, saying, well, who am I to lead this community? Who, you know, I look up to these other people. And if anybody finds out that I look up to these other people, they're going to consider me a fraud. If they find out that all I'm doing is telling them my thoughts, but these are really thoughts that came from other people, then they're going to find those other people and they're going to say, oh, you're a fraud, Nathan, and we shouldn't have been listening to you. And a lot of people deal with this. And even I, to an extent, have dealt with this in my past. Just believing that I'm not worthy of leadership. And because I'm such an anti-authoritarian, I probably deal with it more than most people do. But here's the deal. And this is a thing to wrap your mind around. Every true leader is also a follower. They still have people that they follow. They still have people that they look up to. They still have people that they look as their leaders. The passenger in a car looks up to the driver and puts their faith in the driver. The driver of the car puts their faith in the mechanic that repairs the car. The mechanic of the car aspires to be a manufacturer of cars. The manufacturer of the car puts his faith in the leadership of the designer of the car. So along the way, everybody has somebody else that they look to as a leader, that they put their faith in. Does that mean that the passenger shouldn't trust the driver because the driver puts his trust in somebody else? Does that mean that the driver is not worthy of the passenger's trust just because the driver is six steps down on the totem pole? No. Of course the passenger should trust the driver and put their faith in the driver. So even if you're just a few steps ahead of the people that are following you, and even if there's 15 leaders above you that you're 15 steps behind them, the mere fact that you're a few steps ahead of the people that are following you means that you're a worthy leader. Just because there's a mechanic and a manufacturer and an automobile designer further ahead of you than where you're at in the process doesn't mean that you're not a worthy driver. Doesn't mean that you're not worthy of picking out a path of action for your passenger to follow, for your passenger to go along with you on the ride for. So get over the imposter syndrome, first of all. Now, the next couple of minutes, I'm going to be going over what steps once you've gotten over your imposter syndrome, once you've gotten over your idea that there shouldn't be hierarchy and there shouldn't be leadership in the workplace or in certain communities, once you've gotten over those lies that you've been telling to yourself and you've accepted that you are somebody who's worthy of leadership, how do you establish that? How do you establish yourself as a thought leader? How do you establish yourself as an authority in your field so that you can go out and have the biggest beneficial impact on the biggest amount of people? That's what I want to spend some time covering in the rest of this episode. So there's a couple ways to do that. And I, like I said, I've done that in the Liberty community. I'm halfway established doing that in the podcasting community. And I'm halfway established doing that for myself in the business and marketing community. And like I said, in every job that I've ever done or ever had, I've done this in those positions where I was working for other people. And as being a business owner, as owning multiple businesses now, I've had to do this in every time that I've taken on the role of leadership in a business. Is I've had to go through this evolution of my own personal character, of turning myself into somebody who is worthy of leading. And so I have a lot of experience in this, and almost every single aspect that I've tried to implement this in my life, I've been successful at it. And so I want to share some of the things that I have found, the four most important things that you need to understand in establishing yourself as an authority or a leader in a particular niche. So let's start there. Let's start with the word niche. Niche down. Don't try to be the authority in this grand, all-encompassing role of whatever. Don't try and cast this wide net. Pick a niche and start there. Pick one thing that you really want to dominate in. Pick one thing that you really want to be the guy that people go to. So in the libertarian community, I'll harken back to some of my earlier days. Mark Stevens is this cat that talks about the legal system, and he talks about liberty, but he talks about libertarian, you know, core principles and values, but he's really known for his work in the legal system. So he's not like this broad, all-encompassing libertarian thought leader. He's the guy that you go to when you want to know about the flaws and the illegalities of the legal system. We'll go back to Larkin Rose. Larkin Rose is the guy that is great at spelling out the moral and logical inconsistencies of statism. So it's not all encompassing liberty, but it's the one thing that he specializes in. Just look at this logically and look at it morally, and it falls apart. And he's great at laying out that argument. Tom Woods is the guy to go to when you want to understand the economics and the economical and the historical arguments against statism. And there's really nobody that, in my opinion, that does it as well and as consistently as Tom Woods does. So all of these different guys in their particular niches, they all kind of talk about liberty as a whole, but they really niche down on their one specialty, and they've become known for that one specialty. So when somebody says, I want to understand liberty from an economic point of view, people say, go to Tom Woods. When somebody says, I want to understand statism and why statism is flawed from a legal point of view, they say, go to Mark Stevens. So don't cast this wide net. Pick the one thing that you're really passionate about, that you're really strong suited for, and drive home that fact and become the authority on that one particular thing. It's a lot easier to get noticed in a small pond than it is to get noticed in the giant sea of the overall umbrella idea. So constantly cover that one topic, and you'll gain the attention of the crowd, of that crowd at least. And then you'll have the halo effect where people from other communities will start to take notice of you. But if you try to be all over the place, it's not going to work out for you, because you'll never give people a chance to notice you. If you're over on this subject and then you're over on this subject and now you're over on this subject, You'll never be able to gain traction in any one particular subject. So niche down. That's the first tip. Don't try and cast too wide of a net. Second tip is get a platform. Have something that people can tie to your name. Have something that you can stand up on and make yourself taller than everybody else in the conversation. So this can be a book. You can write a book on a particular topic. You can have a blog. A podcast. That's a large part of why I do my podcast, is so that I have a platform. Have something though that allows you to showcase your knowledge in whatever particular area that you want to shine in. Now, social media or YouTube can work for this as well. But my problem with that approach is that you're really building your platform on rented land. And so if Facebook decides they don't want a certain message getting out, and you've built your entire platform on your social media accounts, and Facebook says, yeah, we don't like this message, we're going to greatly decrease the amount of reach that your posts get. Well, there you go. No more traffic for your message. Same thing with if they change their algorithm, and they say, you know what, these type of stories aren't what we want our platform to be about. Well, there goes your message. Same thing with like YouTube. A lot of people have built platforms on YouTube, and over the last couple of months, they've seen their platforms demonetized. They've seen their videos being pulled out of people's news feeds. And so, yeah, if you build your platform on somebody else's website, on somebody else's rented land, you've basically put yourself at their disposal. You put yourself at their discretion. And there goes your influence the minute that they don't want to push it anymore. So that's why I recommend building your own platform, you know, write your own book, start your own blog, start your own podcast. I prefer podcasts because with all the Google algorithm changes, with all the Facebook algorithm changes, even email has algorithms that sort email now, podcasts, it's really hard because your podcast shows up in iTunes. iTunes doesn't pick and choose which podcast. If you subscribe to a podcast in iTunes or Stitcher or Google Play, if you subscribe to it, it's there. If you subscribe to somebody's YouTube channel, you might not see their updates. If you subscribe to somebody on Facebook or Twitter, you might not see their updates. But if you subscribe to their podcast, they're there. So if you have a podcast and people subscribe to it, they're going to consistently get your message every time you put out a new message. So that's why I'm a huge proponent of podcasting. Third, cooperate rather than compete. So this is a big deal killer for most people. People look out and they see people that are in their same field and they say, this is my competition. I've got to work against these people. I've got to undermine these people. I've got to be better than these people. That's not the way to achieve thought leadership or leadership in general. Instead of working against other leaders, work with them. Don't go with the herd. If you disagree with something that the majority of leaders are espousing, don't be afraid to be contrarian. Don't be afraid to put your, you know, draw your line in the sand and say, no, this is where I, don't be afraid to plant your flag as far as, you know, that will definitely help you, but don't see them as your competition. See them as people that you can cooperate with. So if you wanted to be known as an activist, don't try and, you know, draw a circle around yourself and push all the other activists out. Figure out ways to work with them. Figure out ways to interview them. Figure out ways to get on the same stage as them. Same thing with in business. If you're in a particular business, marketers are great at this, actually. Internet marketers in particular, they don't see each other as competition. They see each other as ways to help each other out. So when one marketer has a new course come out, he doesn't say, well, if I let everybody else know about my course, they'll be working against me and they're my enemy and they're my competition. He says, how many of these other people that are in my same field can I utilize to help push and promote this course? So when a new course comes out by Frank Kern, he goes to all the different copywriters and he says, hey, can you help me put this course out? And he goes to all the different internet marketers and says, hey, do you want to help? You want to start a joint venture program? And so instead of competing against everybody in that community. All of those people are helping each other out and building each other up. And so when one guy comes out, all of his competition aren't saying, well, let's not pay attention to that product. They're saying, hey, let me help you promote that product. And so that's probably something that the Liberty community could take a little bit of a note about. Instead of tearing each other down so much, maybe we should start trying to help lift each other up. All right. So that's my recommendation on that. Use affiliate programs, use joint ventures, see other people in your field as people to cooperate with rather than people to compete with. And then the last one, the fourth one is learn, do, teach. Most people never do anything but consume. They listen, they watch, they learn, but they stop there. A lot of other people, they learn and then they jump straight into teaching. So they miss the do step. They go from learn to teach without validating. This always leads to bad advice. Sovereign citizens, I'm talking to you. Also, internet marketers, a lot of the internet marketers out there, I'm talking to you too. It's great to learn. It's great to teach, but you better take the middle step and do, implement, trust, but verify, and then teach what you've learned. That way you stay credible. That way you're not spreading bad information. If you want to be a good leader and you want to be worthy of the people that follow you, you owe it to your followers to take that middle step of doing rather than just jumping from learn to teach. So those are my four steps to establish yourself as a thought leader. Step number one, niche down. Step number two, have a solid platform. Step number three, work with rather than against other people in your field. Step number four, learn, do, and then teach. And then lastly, see yourself as worthy of the leadership role. All right, this has been another episode of Anarchopreneur, the Nathan Fraser Show. To get more, go to nathanfrasershow.com, freemarketsquad.com. I am out of here. Deuces.
Free minds, free markets, free people.